I don't know better. I'm a thief and a sinner. I'm a fool and a debtor. You got your pushing numbers. You got your pushing room. And what's lucky song is breaking even
Steve Earle and Sean Colvin will be in our region on Thursday, the 27th of March at the Troy Savings Bank Music Hall. Songs and Stories Together on Stage features two esteemed artists sharing a rousing night of song swapping, duets, storytelling, and stellar guitar playing. The evening promises a rich and inspiring musical experience as these two longtime friends and mutual admirers share music from their extensive catalogs, as well as some of their favorite songs by other classic songwriters. Steve Earle and Sean Colvin at the Troy Savings Bank Music Hall on the 27th, and it is a great pleasure to welcome Sean Colvin to the roundtable. Thank you very much for being with us.
You're welcome. Thank you.
It's a delight to have you here. How did the partnership with Steve Earle come to be of going out on the road together?
I was thinking, well, who would, you know, I toured a great deal with Mary Chapin Carpenter last year.
Right.
And it was so much fun to have a comrade, you know. And I just thought, well, who would I do this with next, you know? Who would I like to tour with? And Steve is one of my top choices. And so we asked him, and he was into it.
What do you learn from experiences like that of as you say, of having a comrade, of being on stage at times with someone else?
Well, it really affects the dynamic of your own show. I mean, I'm used to playing by myself, and so I set my own, I kind of, you know, go where it takes me and set my own dynamic up and how the set works. And, you know, when you're going back and forth, you know, on stage together, a song from the other artist can really speak to you and take you somewhere else and put you in the mood to do a different song. You know, there's the added bonus of having someone to chat with up there. And I think, you know, the audience likes that very much, as do I.
How do you think you inform each other musically in the sense of that there is there's almost a call and response, a conversation that is taking place musically?
What, Steve and I?
Yes.
Well, from my point of view, you know, and from where I'm standing, Steve had a lot of influence on me. And that's fun to talk about when we're on stage together. I kind of wrote a song after being inspired by one of his. You know, I recorded one of his songs on my cover record. And I've covered other songs of his, and so we're able to kind of talk about you know, how I came to do that and how he felt when he heard the song that I recorded and things like that. So there's just some obvious history. What Steve has to say and how outspoken he is and how he talks, you know, affects the way I interact with the audience as well. And it's very different from touring with Mary Chapin. Very different. You think that's funny?
Well, she seems a little less guarded, perhaps.
I would say that's true.
Yeah. And but, as you say, he's outspoken, but it may... Is there a consistency in the way he is on stage, or is there a moodiness?
Oh, no. No, no. He's there 100% in a... you know, devoted and dedicated to a great show. His outspokenness makes me a little braver. And, you know, my melancholy probably puts him in a mood here and there, you know, to be sensitive, which he has some amazing sensitive material. So that's good. And besides, I think half the songs Steve is doing are requests of mine. I said, Steve, you got to do this one and you got to do this one. Just kind of my dream set of things I could play and sing on. Not all of them, but a lot.
And there's certainly those personality differences. However, there is also this folk rock mentality that you both have, that you share, that the music seems to be very, very complementary.
It is. I agree. It definitely is. You know, Steve has, his roots are probably a little more country, and mine are a little more folk, pop, but we really have the same taste in music. I mean, I adore the people that influenced him, and he's feels the same about all my influences. Some of them are the same, obviously, and then there are just, you know, odd, you know, kind of pop singers and stuff that we both love that you wouldn't expect us to love. So
I have to ask for an example. I'm curious as to.
Well, you know, not that this is such a bizarre person to enjoy or but Pink is one.
Oh yeah. Okay.
You know,
all right.
I mean, she's amazing.
She is. I thought, I didn't know if you were going to like Justin Bieber or something. I didn't know exactly where you were going with that.
Well, you know, I covered an NSYNC song. No, a Backstreet Boys song once, so anything goes.
You like covering. I mean, you like finding music and putting it to your sensibilities.
I really do, and I did that for many, many years. I didn't write. I just didn't have any confidence and was afraid to try. So I made it my business to first, you know, just emulate my idols, and then to kind of go outside the box and pick covers that one wouldn't necessarily expect from an artist like me, which I still try to do.
I won't ask you how you gained your confidence, but at one point did you know that you were confident to be able to do it yourself?
Yeah, I did, and it was actually a pretty defined moment. I sort of took some time off from playing music because I was frustrated, and I thought, you don't know who you are, what do you, you know, and I wasn't really even enjoying it anymore. I could, you know, I was making an okay living playing bars and clubs, and I just wondered, is this really what I'm supposed to do? And after taking some time off, it's just like, you know, you don't know what you got till it's gone, and I thought, well, I'm good at this. You know, there must be something. And then it just kind of came to me. Well, you were raised on folk music and singer-songwriters, you know, the solo person writing their songs and playing the guitar, and that's what you got to do. So I guess you could say that moved me to get personal, you know, and that's how I began to write.
And when you stop working so hard to figure out what it is you're looking for and you get personal, does it then become, not that it's easy by any stretch of the imagination, but does it become more natural?
Well, I think your editing skills get honed well. You know what's good for you to do. You know what sounds right. You know what's true. And I found, too, in the songwriting process that a song really isn't making it for me until I've played it for an audience and get that, not feedback so much, you know, in terms of applause or anything like that, just sort of, it's sort of a litmus test of honesty, you know, not to be, you know, opening a vein or anything, just is the song good, you know, is it communicating what you want to, is it something a lot of people can hear and relate to? Is it working, you know? And that takes an audience for me, in part.
And I find that fascinating, and I've talked to other artists about this. Are you able to put into words of how you know that it is working and what of how you get that feeling?
How do I put it into words? I mean, I certainly know when it's not working, and the
so
way
the,
I know that, the way
the opposite
I know that,
of that, yeah.
Yeah, is when I, before I've had a chance to fix it, if I play it again, I kind of mumble certain words that I don't think work. When it's working, it's just, I'm settled into it. I'm moved myself when it's new like that. It's really thrilling, and you can just feel it. You know, I don't know how else to describe it. You can feel it when you've nailed it, and they get it.
And to me, there wouldn't be a better feeling in the world, especially when you've sort of given birth to this thing, and you have presented it to an audience and they are accepting it.
That's right. That's absolutely right. You know, writing is not easy for me, but the payoff is, it's divine.
The eighth studio album was out about a year and a half, 2 years ago, All Fall Down. What is next now?
I've got two projects in mind. One I've started is very traditional record that you would expect me to make. Just, you know, writing songs and putting out a record of them, playing guitar. And the other one I kind of keep under wraps. It's sort of different for me. And it's going to be a challenge, but and it probably will be a while in the making, so we'll talk more about it later.
That's fine. And in the meantime, I should note, I think the last time you were on the program is talking about Diamond in the Rough, which was just a terrific memoir. And if folks haven't checked that out, they really should. What was that like, going out and talking about yourself in that way?
In the book?
Yeah, about the book when you were out and...
Oh, to promote the book kind
of? Yeah.
Oh, it was good. I mean, you know, I kind of lay open, you know, some times in my life in the book that, I don't know, I've been called brave, you know,
right,
about it. But I wouldn't have done that if I hadn't been comfortable talking. You know, I've said it before, and you know, the way that I got better or began to get well from, you know, things like addiction and depression was when I talked to other people, not that knew about it or were experts, but that had lived through it. So it's just part of my recovery process, I guess you could say, to share, you know, what's gone on. And I really think it's truly helpful.
Well, Steve Earle and Sean Colvin will be at the Troy Savings Bank Music Hall on Thursday, the 27th of March at 8 o'clock. The performance is entitled Songs and Stories Together on Stage. Sean Colvin, it's a delight to have you with us. Thank you very much, and I look forward to having you here in town.
Thank you. Always a pleasure to talk to you.
A delight. Thank you very much. Again,
okay.
Sean Colvin will be at Troy Savings Bank Music Hall with Steve Earle on the 27th at 8 o'clock. You can find out more information at troymusichall.org. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.